trying to walk in other shoes. I try to listen to their views. But when I see them on the news and the language that they use, well, I think they're all confused. I'm trying hard not to swear. I try to trade it in for prayer. But when there's trouble everywhere, it's too much to hardly bear. Doesn't anybody care? I'm a working on it. I'm a working on it. I'm a hoping that it sticks. Might not be the perfect fix, but I'm a working on it.
Called, you probably figured it out, I'm Working on It, or just Working on It, from a CD called Back and Forth, Illinois, by Chicago Farmer, who's the lead singer on there. He's calling the backup crew the Hired Hands for this particular CD, which just came out last month. In this case, the hands belonging to drummer Darren Garvey, bassist Mike Davidoff, and extra vocalist Heather Horton, Chris Harden, Jake Willis, and Dan Andre. Chicago Farmer is Cody Decoff, and he is with us to play live on the show today, the show being live and local here on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we always appreciate your joining us for the program. Chicago Farmer is going to be playing in our area a few times over the next few weeks, including tomorrow at the Canopy Club on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana for a show that starts at 9 o'clock with James Moore and then one of the singers we just heard in that tune, Jake Willis. And Cody will open for Todd Snyder at the Castle Theater in Bloomington on Friday, March 15th for an 8 o'clock show. And then he'll be playing in his hometown of Delavan, Illinois on Friday, March 22nd. That's a week after, of course, the Todd Snyder gig. And very pleased to welcome Cody Decoff, Chicago Farmer, back to Live and Local.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So a couple or 3 years or something like that. It's great to have you back. And, of course, it's always nice to have somebody who's just come out with a new disc. Did you have a big party to release this?
We did. We actually had one at the Castle Theater on February 1st and in Bloomington. And we also had one February 9th in Peoria at the Contemporary Arts Center. So the title of the album stands true with me traveling back and forth Illinois.
I sort of assumed that was the exactly. Point of that made-up town name.
Correct. And we also played a beautiful room up in Evanston called Space. So we've been making our rounds, and after tomorrow's show, the goal is to kind of expand and become more back and forth USA, not just back and forth Illinois. And we're actually doing five shows with Todd Snyder, starting in Columbus, Ohio, going down to Louisville, Kentucky, and Indianapolis. So we're starting to hit the road a little bit with the album, and I'm real excited for that.
Now, when you say we, do you mean the royal we?
Myself, my wife, sometimes the dog, and the guitar. I can never leave the fam out. So I guess I think of Chicago Farmer as kind of a family business, even though it is just myself and my guitar and harmonica and boots stomping on stage.
How did you manage to hook up with Todd Snyder? Did he know of you, hear of you? Did somebody, some promoter suggest
I've had the chance to play with him a couple times now. This will be the second time I've played with him at the Castle Theater. The last one sold out. And we have a mutual friends in a band called Great American Taxi, and they often travel around and back up Todd. So we're mutual friends, and their keyboard player kind of realized I was doing a similar gig as Todd and thought we'd be a good fit. So he kind of paired us together, and it's been a pretty good relationship so far.
So do you always open and then he continues, or do you ever do anything with him?
We've only done two shows. I'd love to collaborate with him sometime, but right now it's just I'm the opener, and I feel pretty comfortable in that role.
I got to talk with him probably the last time he was at the Castle.
Is that right?
Didn't get to meet him, but you know, uh-huh. We talked on the phone. It was kind of an interesting interview, to say the very least. Learned some things about him that he didn't seem at all shy about talking about. But I know when I mentioned it to some fans of his, they seemed a little uncomfortable to know certain things.
Yeah.
You know, like downing a bottle or so of wine, you know, with every show or whatever. I don't know.
Well, he's a traveling troubadour. He's been doing it for a long, long time, a lot longer than people know. And he's definitely a character, and that's part of his persona. I think that's just part of his style and his music as well. So.
Well, yeah. And I guess I remember the reason he gave for that was that he said he just gets horribly shy and nervous about going on stage.
You know, so I've been dealing with too. I've been doing it, you know, we're near as long as he has too, but you know, you work and you work and you work and you build your way up to that point where you have 500 people sitting in chairs listening to everything you say, and that's what you want and that's what you work for. And then when it happens, you walk out on stage and you realize these 500 people just paid good money to see you on their night off, and they're hanging on to every word, which is what you wanted. But when it really happens, it hits you, and it's a sobering fact, and it's kind of hard to be sober sometimes when that happens night after night, and you have the little bit of pressure to deliver to every one of those people every night after night. So I kind of see where he's coming from there.
Have you ever had any moments where that realization froze you?
I just recently played in Carbondale a few months ago for a band called the Woodbox Gang, who's a great folk roots Americana act. And they were playing at a room down there on campus called the Shryock Auditorium. And it was their big reunion show, and I think there was 1,100 people who paid, and the place didn't serve alcohol. And when I walked out on there and it was just dead silent, it was strange for me, especially for, you know, I've played in the corner of bars for so many years. So to get that, it was just, I did kind of a freeze for a second, but, you know, as soon as the first chord strung out, it was a good feeling, and I realized that I wanted to be there, and they wanted to be there, and it ended up being a great performance.
Yeah, I guess it would be a little bit different if, as you say, you know, you're sitting in a bar half the time when you play, at least half the people probably are barely listening at all,
right.
And concentrating on, you know, their own conversations or their drinks or whatever. And then here's a bunch of people who are there to do nothing but listen to you.
Right. I prefer it myself.
Which
I prefer, you know, the attentive crowd. And my favorite is what I call a respectful rowdiness, where there are drinks served and there are sing-alongs and people do stomp their feet and clap their hands, but they're, you know, focused on the music and they're focused on being a part of the show instead of just being someone on stage and someone in the crowd. I like the shows where the crowd and the entertainer kind of become one and they're all equally a part of what's happening.
So they're true participants in the show.
Exactly. That's what I prefer. So, and I'll continue to do the theaters, quiet theaters, and the rowdy bars probably for a long time. And it's kind of a back and forth process as well.
Well, I guess if they'll to reverse that phrase from, I don't know, I've forgotten the name of the baseball movie. It just left me. You know, if you build it, they'll come. In your case, if they hire you, you'll play.
That's right. You know? That's right. We don't turn down too many gigs. We have a booking agent now. I'm still saying we, so yeah. You know, now you know what I'm talking about.
The family
about.
And the guitar and the harmonica.
Exactly.
And the dog.
So that's been great for us. We're trying to play in the right places that kind of cater to that respectful rowdiness where you can have a good time, but you also are there for the music. So those are the places we seek out. And the front room of the Canopy Club where we're playing tomorrow, I think, is a good place for that. People can come and have a good time, but you know, they're also focused on the tunes and the music and the performer. So
the front room is not the really big room?
Right. I've played in the big room with some other bigger acts, but usually when I'm the headliner at the Canopy Club, I usually play in the front room, and it's kind of a great singer-songwriter, more of an intimate vibe in there. It makes a little more sense for what I do, because can't quite bring the 300 to 400 people into the big room quite yet.
That place you can put a whole lot more even than that.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
So. Chicago Farmer is going to be playing at the Canopy Club in Urbana tomorrow night at 9 o'clock with James Moore and Jake Willis opening up for him. And then he'll open up for Tom Snyder at the Castle Theater in Bloomington on March 15th. And he's here with us live in the studio on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And as you said just a bit ago, since people are here for the music probably primarily, why don't we hear some? We heard off of your record, but now we get to hear you live.
Sounds fantastic. This is the first song off the new album. And if you grew up in a small town or anywhere near one, this will maybe resonate with you. Last night's blues, tide won't on, but I lost my shoes. I don't need a paper to know the news. Think I'll just go uptown. Everybody there's throwing around my name. Seems like I'm always catching that blame. It's just another one of them small town games. Think I'm gonna lose this round. Cause everybody knows the kind. Everybody knows everybody in this town. Long tall Molly in a mini dress. Saturday night she's a bawling mess. Sunday morning she'll confess. Everybody's listening now. Later on about that same night, two grown men in a barroom fight. Factory's gone back on strike. Everybody's talking now. Cause everybody knows the kind of life that you're bound to lead, if it's wrong or right. Everybody knows all about your share of ups and downs. Everybody knows everybody in town. Everybody knows everybody in town. Everybody knows everybody in town. Everybody knows. Everybody knows the kind of life that you're bound to lead, if it's wrong or right. Everybody knows all about your share of ups and downs. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody knows everybody in this town. Yeah, everybody knows everybody in this town. Everybody knows. Woke up this morning with the last night's blues. Tied one on, but I lost my shoes. Now it's no secret, me and Miley's news. Everybody knows by now.
Everybody in this town, Chicago Farmer, which is the opening track off of his new CD, which is called Back and Forth, Illinois. That's B-A-C-K-E-N, in case you ever want to look that up on MapQuest. I don't think you'll find it there, but you can find any of the number of the towns that Cody Decoff goes back and forth between. He's here with us live on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Going to be playing in Urbana tomorrow night and in Bloomington on the 15th and in Delavan, Illinois, his hometown, on the 22nd. You made your way from Delavan to Chicago at some point.
I did. There was a pit stop there at Illinois State University in Bloomington, but it was pretty much the big jump from 1,700 people to 17 billion, what it seemed like. But, you know, it was quite a jump from the small town of Delavan to Chicago. And the original Chicago Farmer idea was to start a band and call it Chicago Farmer, to kind of blend my small town roots with the big city life. But my first apartment, I had seven roommates, and they were all musicians, so I decided.
Which is why you needed seven roommates probably to afford it.
Exactly. Yeah, we lived in a big loft in Wicker Park, which was a really cool happening neighborhood at the time. But when I was up there, I started, you know, falling in love with the music of John Prine and Steve Goodman and things like that, and was inspired by the Old Town School of Folk Music up there. And so I just kind of liked that life of just myself and the guitar and the harmonica. And my friends, my roommates all had a band, and I usually would just play shows with them and do my solo thing. So the name kind of stuck after a while. So,
and then you cleared out after how long?
I was up there for 5 or 6 years. And my wife and I were married up there. She's originally from the Chicago area. We met at Illinois State University, and we lived up there, and we did our thing in our early 20s, which is a good time to experience living in Chicago in your early 20s. But after a while, we kind of realized a musician and a teacher just really couldn't survive there. We were never seeing each other. I was always hitting the road on the weekends. So we regrouped and came to Bloomington, and now we're, you know, centrally located, and we can afford to be a musician and a teacher and have a dog and a yard and a garage, which is, you know, things I like. Mm. So it's good.
And what does she teach?
She teaches English. She teaches face-to-face classes at Heartland Community College, and she also teaches online, which is great because she gets to travel with me a lot. She's like my tour manager and my merchandise department, and she's my eyes and ears. She does all my technical stuff. I don't think I even knew how to do email before I met her. So she's a big part of Chicago Farmer, and it's great that we get to be together and travel together. She grades papers online while we drive down the road. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that whole online education thing, even within a sit-down university, I guess there's an awful lot of that that goes on. When I finished my master's degree, that was long enough ago that it was before you even registered online.
So yeah.
I wouldn't know how to do it now. This is your second recording, or
this is my
one?
Sixth like thing that we've actually released. I feel like this is like number one, really, because it's the first time we ever assembled a team and a publicist and a radio distribution person and all this kind of other stuff that I'm trying to pay off out of my, you know, with my pocket and my. Mm-hmm. We did a Kickstarter thing, which really helped out a lot, and thanks to all my Kickstarter backers and the support of all the fans, they really stepped forward and helped me pay for a lot of these things. But you know, some stuff was 5-song EPs and 6 songs here and there, but this is really the first one we really went gung-ho with. So
the reason I ask is actually, if I look out my studio door window here, we've got your, I guess the previous one is up on our bulletin board.
Yeah, I think we were talking about that last time. That one was done with my pals, the Henhouse Prowlers, bluegrass from Chicago.
Yeah, right. Well,
and now Dan Andry, who sing some background vocals on the record, and he's their new fiddle player and does a lot of singing with them, and he's just an amazing addition and just what a great guy. And
I was just going to ask if you knew him already or if you picked him up through the Prowlers.
I know Dan very well. He's played some fiddle with me on some shows, and I kind of wanted to snag him, and then I kind of knew that Hen House was really interested in him, and I just thought what a perfect fit he would be for that band, and they're just kind of taking it to new levels. They're my favorite young bluegrass band in the country right now, as far as I'm concerned, and what a great guy, great local guy here.
Dan.
He spent a lot of time here in Champaign, Urbana.
Yeah, well, and he, you know, they sort of, the Prowlers sort of stole him away, as it were, from some of the local
right,
groups, and
right.
We've had the Prowlers on here a couple times, and
yeah,
I really enjoy it. They're a lot of fun to talk to. And,
yeah, they're the real deal.
Yeah.
So we did some recording in Chicago, the same place I recorded this recent one, back and forth to Illinois. I recorded a 5-song EP called Something Else, and they backed me up on 2 songs, and their old fiddle player backed me up on another song, and we just kind of went into the studio and threw up a bunch of mics and just went gung-ho and just recorded everything live, and the harmonies and the picking that they do is just really phenomenal.
So we know you've used guests on those 2 CDs, and Dan, you said, has joined you on occasion for
Correct.
A live show.
Yeah.
I mean, how often do you have guests on the live shows?
Not too often. I've been thinking about putting together a band to hit the road, because like in this new album, I'm hearing a lot of different sounds, and I've been doing the solo thing for so long. I do want to expand and kind of build the sound, but at the same time, I still have a lot of solo folk singer troubadour goals that I want to reach. And
such as?
You know, just certain venues I want to play and certain feelings I want to feel when I get done with the show. And I want to just, you know, be able to put on the best 90-minute solo show that I can possibly put on every single night. And that's something we've been working on. My solo show does a lot of storytelling too, a lot of stories about when I lived in Chicago, a lot of stories from my small town. I guess it's something that's kind of been inspired by Todd Snyder and John Prine over the years to really tell these stories. When I go to a show, that's what I like to hear, the kind of the behind-the-scenes stories, and I've been integrating that into my show for the last few years, and so I think my ultimate goal is just to be able to tell those stories, do spoken word, do poetry, do sing-alongs, just all pack it into the perfect, you know, best show that I can take on the road.
So there are the stories necessarily related to the songs you're gonna
sing?
Oh,
absolutely.
So, for example, what song have you got next, and is there a story that goes with it?
Absolutely. This song was actually inspired by my grandfather. He just turned 90 years old. He retired from farming at the age of 85, and when he retired from farming, he had his friend who lives down the road, who's 82, take over the work for him. I think my grandpa was 86. He got 2 brand-new knees. And he was very upset afterwards because they only come with a 15-year warranty. He's a true farmer. He lives in the same house that he grew up in, and he's pretty much the coolest person on the face of the earth. There's only one person that comes close, and that is Grandma. And this song is for them. Lies down on the farm, you know, just tilling around. It's just me and Grandpa waiting on a familiar sound. Come 11:30, we'd both hear Grandma's voice saying it's time to eat, you'd better bring it in, boys. Well, the food's out on the table and I's ready to take my place. She pulled me aside once while Grandpa was washing his face.
said you won't need this now, boy. Oh, but someday you will. She said, keep this in your shoe. It was a $20 bill. Your 20 in my shoe. Now it's up there in Chicago, you know I'm just killing my time. Yeah, show got over early, so I was just blowing my mind. A man came up to me and tried to ruin all my fun. He pushed me to the ground and then he pulled out a gun. He said, if you've no money, boy, this'll be the end of you. I said, hold on a minute, I've a 20 in my shoe. Well, he leaned in there real close and then he stared in disbelief. When I reached for that 20, you know I sized up that thief. He never saw it coming. Oh, I took that man's life. 'Cause next to Grandma's 20, I keep Grandpa's knife. And 20 in my shoe.
I assume that's called the $20 bill.
Correct.
Which is also can also be found on Chicago Farmers' new CD out last month called Back and Forth, Illinois. Chicago Farmer is Cody Dekoff, and he's with us live on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Our program is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. You talked about some of the various types of people that you run into here and there, and they come to your shows, and depending upon where the show is, you know, what, how they'll react and so on. And on your commentary about this particular CD, you actually say that you write music for the kind of people who do show up at your shows, which is a varied bunch, I guess.
It is, yeah. That's the one of the coolest things about my performances is it's a good mix of young people and old people, and you know, some of the people you just wouldn't think would be into the solo folk music that are, that appreciate the songs. And I get a lot of people my age who bring their fathers or their mothers to the show for the first time because they say, hey, you know, you might like this because, you know, you were back into this kind of singer-songwriter genre back in your day, and this guy's still kind of trying to keep that alive. So that happens a lot. I'll see a lot of kids come with their parents to the shows, which I think is really cool. And, you know, traveling around, I play a lot of festivals, and when you're at a outdoor music festival, the people who attend those are generally different than the people who attend the larger, nicer theaters and things like that. So doing different kinds of shows, like what we were talking about before, sometimes being in a seated ballroom or a seated theater compared to like a rowdy bar or a rowdy festival, I think that's the one thing that keeps me going, is all kinds of different people from all different walks of life come to the shows.
Well, the song you just did seems like it could be, in a way, for any of a number of types of people. Everybody's got a grandmother and a grandfather, and probably holds them in some sort of, if not reverence, at least very close memory, and can imagine, you know, going to big city and more or less getting mugged or whatever. I mean, uh-huh. I hope that's just an imagination for most people. I hope that was just out of your imagination.
Well, we had some.
Not quite.
We had some. Definitely had some run-ins. I remember I was robbed. My roommate was robbed the first time he moved into our loft apartment. I had my car broken into the very first day I moved to Chicago. So these things do happen often. I think they're just welcoming gifts from the city of Chicago.
They may be. Yeah.
But the first time I played in Chicago, I was kind of thinking, what am I going to play and what am I going to perform? And I was trying to do these songs that were geared towards city life, but I ran out of those pretty quickly because I didn't live there very long. So I started playing songs like, I have this song called There's 26 Cops in Delavan, Illinois, Population 25, which is a kind of a spoof on the local law enforcement in small towns. And people were like, play that one again, because everybody who was at this bar in Chicago was from Ottawa or from Champaign, or they were all people like me who had left the smaller towns to go move to Chicago to see, you know, to experience it. So there's a lot of people, I think, who've made the pilgrimage up to Chicago from a lot of Illinois small towns. And so the song's related right away, which I thought was very cool.
You've mentioned John Prine a couple of times, and then also the notion of sort of keeping his tradition alive, or at least the tradition of the somewhat traditional Midwestern folk singer. What is it about his music that particularly appealed and then directly influenced you? And where does the keeping it alive part come in? Because it seems like there's certainly an awful lot of singer-songwriters anyway.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there are a lot of them out there, and I think about 95% of them, to me at least, kind of sound the same. And so I don't know, to try to be unique in that genre is kind of strange. And I think the reason why Prine stood out, because he did do a lot of that storytelling, and it just seemed so honest. And even though it was very clever, it was very simple songs that really hit you, though, that they're simply done, but they have the power that really connect with people. And I think even though there's a million singer-songwriters out there, I think, you know, only 999,000 of them actually have the power to connect with people. And I think he's the one that did, and I think he kind of could sit down with his guitar and kind of, you know, explain life to you that you understand in that form of art. And that's, I guess, what drew me towards him, and also because he was a fellow Midwesterner and a fellow Illinoisan. So I guess that's why he inspired me. There was just that connection that I don't get from a lot of other songwriters. There's only a handful that I think really connect with me and that I really relate to, and he's definitely the one that I do the most.
Is there any particular song, or are there any particular songs that one could, if they're really astute, say clearly, ah, this one is under the influence of John Prine?
Yeah, I've been accused of kind of stealing from him and Snyder over the years. And I think we all steal, and I guess if you're gonna steal, you might as well steal from the best, I guess. And in my mind, those are two of the best. I think I probably do have a couple that, you know, melodies might be similar, or the delivery might be similar, but it just kind of depends on what I'm listening to at the time. I mean,
what about the lyrics?
Lyrically, I've always felt that I have my own content. I just always feel like so many crazy things have happened in my life, and with the world around us, there's plenty to write about. There's plenty going on, and my head never really stops. There's always songs and ideas kicking around, so I pretty much can have my own material. But I just think, you know, some of the delivery and some of the way that they deliver songs, I might have, you know, caught up on, just like, you know, Dylan took from Woody and so on and so on.
Well, everybody borrows from
from
somebody, sometimes even themselves, if you're certainly classical musicians,
right.
For example, did that pretty famously. Chicago Farmer is Cody Decoff, they, as he likes to say, he and the family. Although they're close enough that I am guessing they're not going to be with the Urbana tomorrow, or will they?
They will be there.
I guess it goes both ways. They're close enough that they certainly can be.
Absolutely, yeah. We love coming here. It's a 45-minute drive. You can't beat it.
Yeah,
nice folks.
Yeah, lovely folks over here. Lots of great music, including Chicago Farmer tomorrow night for a show at the Canopy Club on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana. The show starts at 9 with James Moore, and then it'll be Jake Willis, and then maybe somewhere 10:30-ish or so, Chicago Farmer will come on stage. And then he'll open for Todd Snyder on Friday, March 15th at the Castle Theater in his present home of Bloomington, which is to say Cody's present home of Bloomington. That'll be an 8 o'clock show, and then he'll do a solo gig in Delavan, which is his hometown, on Friday, March the 22nd. You're hearing him live on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. I didn't get to do this yesterday. I didn't have all the information, but I've got it now, so I want to say a very sincere thank you to everybody who contributed to our Clear the Air campaign. And in case you missed it, well, that was part of the idea, that we weren't on very much last week, asking you to help us to help raise money here for the station, and that was the idea. We had a few mentions here and there, and people went online and made, as it turns out, over $43,000 in donations. Our goal had been 40, and you took it over that, which is fantastic. And because we partnered with Common Ground Food Co-op, we were able to, they will be donating 1,900 meals to the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. So it's a fantastic campaign all around. So thanks again for helping two great community resources, Eastern Illinois Food Bank, and of course, Illinois Public Media, of which WILL FM 90.9 is a significant part. What have you got next?
This is a song from a few albums ago called River Down. And congratulations, that is a pretty huge deal.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the bits in the promo that I remember our general manager, Mark Leonard, said was that other people said it won't work, it'll never work, and apparently it worked. So now...
I love people that support radio.
That's right.
Keep it alive.
What did you say this is called? I was about to write it down.
This is called a song called River Down. Oh, down and we're out from the days we were born. Come down here with broken hearts and our emotions torn. It's off the beaten path to our old stomping ground.
As long as we've been growing up, we've been coming down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Going down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Going down to Mackinac. Yeah, we will have some fun. Get your daddy's old guitar and get your daddy's gun. A big brother will buy the beer and we'll shed a couple rounds. Stack up all the emptiness and then we'll knock them down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Going down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Going down on our luck. You know up comes the cost of everything we do and done and all that we have lost. Well, $4 a gallon, yeah, just to get around. The rich, they keep on rising while the poor keep falling down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Going down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Going down go the faces of another dad and mom. Down goes another soldier to a roadside bomb. Well, I read it in our paper and on the faces of our town. Tomorrow we go to Pekin, Illinois to lay him down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Going down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Going down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Going down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Let's go down to the river. Going down.
Nice song, River Down, with Chicago Farmer here live in our studio. I assume you sing only your own songs, or do you ever do somebody else's?
I do throw a couple other ones in there. I was just in Ohio and played Miss Ohio, Gillian Welch. It's really a cool song. I'm really inspired by another John, too, John Hartford. I play some of John Hartford's songs. I really like his song Tall Buildings, one of my favorite songs of all time. Really speaks to me. And a couple of Prine songs from time to time. Mostly original stuff.
I was just going to ask if you ever snuck any Prine songs. I'm looking here and I see that sort of the guy that really got you out of punk rock and grunge was Hank Williams.
Yeah, I had was skipping school from time to time. And
surely not.
In high school. Coming from Delavan, by the time I was a senior, we had all these study halls. I think we had 6 study halls and gym, and lunch class was kind of the day. So I did a lot of daydreaming and skip class from time to time, and my friends and I would listen to the loud stuff upstairs in their bedroom and whatnot. And I went downstairs one time and I heard their dad playing this old flat top guitar, just strumming along and singing Hank Williams. And it was kind of like that moment I just kind of decided to turn off all this loud grunge alternative whatever music that was going on in the mid-90s, and I just wanted that sound that he had. I wanted to pick up an acoustic guitar, and that sound just hit me. And so I kind of got rid of all my old grunge records and put all my Nirvana and Pearl Jam off to the side and started picking up Hank Williams and stuff like that. So
did your friends reject you as profoundly uncool to be inspired by their dad?
I think I helped turn them on to that kind of music too. And here was one of their friends, digging their dad's music. And so, and he was great. He knew every Hank Williams song you could imagine, and he performed them really well too. So I kind of see that happening in a lot of bands around the country that I meet. They're kind of bluegrass bands, but they were kind of originally into like punk rock and things like that. And I guess part of it's when you get older, your ears can't handle the punk rock anymore, and you kind of want to evolve and mellow out a little bit. But I know, like, reading about a lot of the new, you know, this folk revival, this kind of folk revival, I feel like, going on. And a lot of the bands mention that they were really influenced by punk rock in their early days. And so now they kind of do the more upbeat bluegrass, and guys who are covered in tattoos and grew up on punk music are now playing banjo, which is kind of a cool thing, I guess.
Yeah, and just different vision than you would expect.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Actual side of it. You mentioned earlier that you know, have been thinking about maybe trying to get a band together to tour with. What kind of band would you imagine?
You know, I think I want to start kind of slow. Some of my favorites are Joe Pug and Justin Towns Earl. Justin Towns Earl is the son of Steve Earl. I've seen both of those guys perform with a three-piece with a stand-up bass and a guitarist. I think I would like to start off kind of slow like that, to have the big stand-up acoustic bass to kind of, set the stage and the tone. And then, I think we can get a lot of sound and add a lot of flavor to my solo folk songs with just a stand-up bass and an electric guitar player to kind of make it kind of round it out.
I guess I asked partly out of just, you know, a little bit of personal prejudice. I would think that if I were talented in the way that you are to, you know, write my own songs and play my own guitar, I'd be a little worried that adding other voices, you might sort of risk sounding like everybody else who has a band, you know?
Yeah, actually the funny thing about this record is the guy who engineered it and recorded and mixed it is the one who sings all the high harmonies on it. And he kind of came out from behind the console and came into the room. And
is that Chris Harden?
It is. And I would hit record, and we kind of swapped places, and he would sing the high harmonies along with Heather Horton on a few songs. So he's got a beautiful voice. So I think all these people who I brought in the studio really were focused on the songs and just wanted to help take those, make sure the songs were heard and that nothing got stepped on. And that's what I think I would like to do if I had brought other people in too, just to make sure the song was the main focus, but to just take a lot of that poetry and put it in more motion than I can give it myself.
I would just hate for you to be another singer with a drummer playing a backbeat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then the drummer, I do have drums on this album too, and he's plays with a lot of feel, and I love it. I actually had the guitar player came in for his session to perform, and he said, "Is that Darren Garvey on drums?" And I said, "Yeah, how did you know that? There's thousands of drummers in Chicago."
A lot of personality, huh?
And he said, "Well, I've heard of him play before on records. I just kind of know his style." And I thought, that was just really something refreshing to say that you know, that a drummer has enough feel and a sound that you can pick him out. And I love that. And I could talk all day about music these days with the fake electronic drums. It just drives me crazy, but I won't get into that too much.
Even if they're not,
it'll be a downer.
Even if they're not fake, it's just great that there's a drummer who has style, which is not to say that, you know, that it's completely uncommon for drummers to have style. You know, I was listening to somebody whose name I won't mention because I can't remember it, as a matter of fact, who I first heard as a solo performer, and then I think it was a she, and then I heard some tracks from a recent record, and I thought, now it sounds like everybody else.
Right.
You know, sort of like what you were talking about with folk musicians and or at least singer-songwriters, you know, you're feeling that a certain percentage of them kind of sound similar.
Right.
Anyway, so much for my own personal soapbox. I'll get off of it right now and let you sing another song.
No, I understand. I understand. Let's see here. Did a song about grandma and grandpa and working on the farm. This is a song when I worked at Caterpillar Incorporated for 6 days. I never got a paycheck, but I got this tune out of it.
So it was a successful collaboration.
get me through. You spend another morning with the Cymbeline Line Blues. My 15-minute break, it goes by in a wink. 15 minutes of work lasts for days, I do think. Another day, another dollar of paying my dues. You spend another night with the Cymbeline Line Blues. Yep. You do one thing wrong and they'll take away your rights. I assemble in the morning, reassembling at night. They say, by the way, you're gonna work Sunday too. Ooh, you spend another week with the Cymbeline Line Blues. I've been sighing, been dying, been panting for a rest, while a boss man is smiling, got his feet on his desk. I wish for one day he could walk in my boots. He wouldn't last an hour with the Cymbeline Line Blues. Nope. Singing on the radio for you. Ooh, forget about my life with the Cymbeline Line Blues. The Cymbeline Line Blues. The Cymbeline Line Blues.
Chicago Farmer, I assume that's called Cymbeline Line Blues.
It is.
Was that last line tailor-made for this radio program?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You do much lyric improvisation in your shows?
I do, actually. I do quite a bit. I always take time to figure out what town I'm in. And when I'm in that town, what's going on there, and I definitely try to incorporate it into the songs to give everybody a good time.
I just had a conversation with the leader and founder of the wonderful Irish group called the Chieftains today.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
And they're going to be in Bloomington, as a matter of fact.
Is that right?
On Sunday afternoon. And before he started the interview, he said, so where am I talking to? I guess he'd done a whole bunch of interviews in a row, and he didn't know what town he was even talking about, which show he's talking about. It's got to be pretty confusing for those who are in back and forth USA, or in his case, back and forth the world.
Yeah, I was just in Cincinnati last week doing a radio show, and so we have a radio distribution person on the team now, and she's been sending out the stuff to all the radio stations and Americana stations and stuff like that. So it really is just like we were talking about before. It's just, I'm glad radio's going strong, and I'm glad your listeners supported you like they do, and it's just fantastic. It doesn't matter if you're radio or a folk singer, we need all the support we can get, and so it's great when the people come out like that.
Of course, that's what Live and Local is trying to do. Sort of, you scratch your back,
yeah,
we scratch our back, we'll scratch yours. However that goes.
I like that too. I think the Midwest is good about that. I think the scene in Central Illinois, and definitely the scene in Chicago, really people are trying to help each other out because they know what boat we're in. We're kind of all in this together, and I've kind of noticed on the two different coasts that it's more of a cutthroat game. It's kind of like, you know, what are you going to do for me? And I think, you know, the scene that we have here in the Illinois and the Midwest is kind of, you know, really want everybody to succeed who wants to succeed and who's worthy of succeeding. So that's something I enjoy. You know, whenever I do something, see something cool, I always try to spread the word about it. So this Sure. is definitely one of those things.
That's what we all try to do. Well, let me mention, speaking of spreading the word and who's doing what around town, some other events going on at least today in our listening area. It's an evening with Jonathan Richman. He's going to be at the Canopy Club tonight at 8 o'clock. That's in Urbana. And then the Chicago Farmer will be there tomorrow. I'll repeat that information a little later. Oklahoma is being presented at Illinois State University at the Center for the Performing Arts there. That's at a 7:30 show tonight and continues the rest of this week. It's the traditional Irish music session happening, as it does every Wednesday night at 8:30 in downtown Champaign at Dublin O'Neill's. Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan is presenting Les Miserables, Wednesday through Saturday at 8, Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. The station Celebration Company at the Station Theater at Urbana is presenting The Sons of the Prophet tonight through Sunday at 8 o'clock. And at the Yoder Center in Arthur, it's the Gunny Sack Review for a show that's weekly at 7 o'clock. In fact, we're going to have the Gunny Sack Review live on the show on Friday, which should be a lot of fun. We've never had them before. On tomorrow's show, as I mentioned, Patty Maloney of the Chieftains will be hearing that interview. And also young concert artist, pianist Andrew Tyson, who's going to be in Urbana Sunday afternoon also. He'll be on the show tomorrow on Live and Local. You're listening to 90.9 WYNL FM and HD Urbana with Translator, W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. And while I'm saying thanks to Chicago Farmer, Mike Pritchard, why don't you get track number 4 up on his CD. And I want to say thanks, Cody, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Best of luck with everything coming up. It's the Canopy Club tomorrow night at 9 o'clock with Jake Willis and James Moore. And then Friday, March 15th at the Castle Theater, opening up for Todd Snyder. That's in Bloomington. And he'll be in Delavan on the 22nd of March. And this comes from his Back and Forth Illinois CD. It is the title track by Chicago Farmer here on Live and Local.